Okay, everyone, let's move then to receiving now the Word of God. I want to share very clearly and a very uplifting message from the Word of God. I'm going to start off with Mark 9:23. Please come with me. I'm changing where I was going. I was going to do expository preaching and begin with the book of Romans, but no, that's not where we're going today. This morning, I knew that we were going somewhere else, and so we're going somewhere else. But if you are watching the TV broadcast, soon we begin with the book of Ephesians on the television broadcast. We recorded 3 broadcasts this week, and we got to verse 5 of Ephesians. So going into some detail, and it's so powerful to really delve in, you know, to search the deep things of the Word of God. It's so important that we go into depth with the Word of God. And you know, this is the Word of God. It's not a casual thing. We should approach the Word with such reverence and awe, because this is the Word of God. I saw a wonderful clip that Raj had, Raj from Warrington, had put on our church WhatsApp group. If you're not on the church WhatsApp group, please join the WhatsApp group. They're posting various things, and it's, you know, throughout the day, and prayers and whatever it might be, little video clips and things. It's encouraging. And this little video clip, hands up if you've seen it. Some, yes, good, good. Oh, I'm glad. Because it was a little girl. And this little girl was in a quiz that they have in America for remembering the scriptures. And they have points, you know, and it's a game show sort of setup. And they have these points, they read out 3 or 4 words from a verse, and then the contestants, these little girls, were having to see if they can remember what the verse is from, and then quote the whole verse and the reference for the verse. Well, they were very good, I've got to say. I mean, it was tremendous to see these youngsters being, I mean, they must be 13, 14 years old. I think they must remember, they must know hundreds of verses off by heart. And I did think to myself, wouldn't it be good for us as a church to say, well, why don't we every week have a verse for the week, and I'll include the adults and I'll include myself. And the next week then, what we'll do is we'll say, right, who remembers that verse? And all the adults will have to put their hands up as well as the children. And every week, perhaps I'll get to, or someone will get to pick whoever stands up and says the verse. Wouldn't that be a nice thing? In theory, you know, if you did that every week, in theory, at the end of a year, you'd have 52 verses memorized. I mean, little children of 13 and 14 can do it. We should be able to do that, shouldn't we? And what it would make us do is, in the week then, we'd go over the verse, go over the verse, go over the verse. Well, you know, training in the right way to think, thinking in accordance with the Word of God, produces what the Word of God says we want to produce in our lives. So this is a vital thing that we do. And training ourselves to think like this, I think, is a vitally important aspect of the Christian life. This is why Jesus says, if my word dwells in you. And he wants his word to dwell in us. Well, how does it dwell in us? If I have to go to the Bible over there and look it up, it's not dwelling in me. It's dwelling in me when I know what the verse says and I can quote the verse. I know the verse is dwelling in me then. It's not dwelling in me if I have to go to the Bible and check it up every time. That's not dwelling in me. Am I right? Who's with me this morning? Yes? Amen. Well, let's do that. Let's do that. And let's have the first verse that we learn as a church be Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible for one who believes. Amen? And next week, we'll ask the church, and hands up who remembered that verse. And then what we may do is, in a month's time, we'll say, right, who remembers the verse from 3 weeks ago? And that's when it'll get tricky. But we'll put the verses somewhere so that we can do that. I just think it's a, you know, as we're talking in the week on WhatsApp and things, there's a lot of things being posted, and those things are easy now for us to do. I think 12 months ago, we didn't have so much a WhatsApp group in the church or anything, but now that we have a group like that, I think it becomes easier for us to do that. And also with the Facebook and, I think that this is one of the advantages that are coming from this time that we've had. So that'll be a blessing. But going back to this girl, I was impressed that they could all answer so many verses. But here's the other thing that impressed me. One of the girls got this first verse wrong. She got it wrong. The other girl got it right. And as she quoted from the verse, she started to weep. She quoted this verse. I mean, if you get a chance to look at the WhatsApp, please look at it and watch this little girl. I wanted to play it this morning. I said, I don't know if we can play it. Is that possible, Liz? Yeah, 5 or 10 minutes. Have a look, see if we can play it. This little girl, because it's only about a minute long or something, but she quotes this verse, and she's in tears as she's quoting it, because the verse means so much to her. And that's how we should approach the Word of God. So often we approach the Word of God in such a casual way, don't we? We've read it before, we're going to read it again. It's this verse, oh, I know this one. No. This is the Word of God. This is God's Word. This book has caused people to die. People have sacrificed their lives for this book. This is the holy Word of God. This isn't something that we should ever approach in a casual way. We must always approach the Word of God with reverence and with awe, knowing that it's God Himself who'll speak to us through this Word. Amen? And He speaks to us through the Word, and this is the way and the attitude of our hearts as we enter into the Word of God. So when Jesus is recorded as saying to him, if you can believe, all things are possible for one who believes. Mark 9:23. Our memory verse for this week then. What a wonderful scripture. We were hearing earlier in the service the testimony of faith. Now faith is, all things are possible for one who believes. This morning I was singing that song. We're just singing, you know, the blessing of having to drive half an hour to church. And it is a blessing for us. I said it would be a blessing, and it is a blessing, because we sing in the car for half an hour. Usually we just sing worship songs. And the songs this morning, and Macy sings with me, and we're all singing in the car, in fact. Samuel joins in as well, sometimes on the mouth organ. And we sing that lovely song this morning, weren't we? We were singing that song. It's mine, I'll have it now. It's mine, I'll have it now. In the Word of God it's written, Jesus heals my sins and sicknesses. It's mine, I'll have it now. And Jesus, that wonderful song of Jesus. But let's see this lovely testimony of this young girl as we're getting it. Getting it up here. Let's just watch this.
This is great. This is an important question right here. Okay, you guys ready?
Yeah.
One of you's gonna get it. Here we go.
All right, here's your last passage. Both riches and honor come, Madison.
1 Thessalonians 4:13-18.
Sorry, that is incorrect. For the rest of you, Bethany.
Oh, for it's Chronicles 29:10-13.
That is correct. Please recite it.
1 Chronicles 29:10-13. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou,
Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty.
For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. And thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to be great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." 1 Chronicles 29:10-13.
Bethany, bring us into your heart and mind. What was going on there?
I just realized how powerful and in control God is, and how everything is just because of him, and he's so great and amazing.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the way the Word of God should impact us. Praise God.
That's awesome.
That's what this is all about.
Isn't that lovely?
You know, there's two
Thank
different
you.
Ways.
Thank you, honey. Thank you, Liz. That's such it's so powerful. I mean, that's little children showing us the way. Little children showing us the way. If we had a land full of men and women who knew the Word of God, who'd memorized the Word of God, we would live in a different land. The land would be shaped in a different way. Isn't that true? And so I just think that as a church, for us, it's a simple thing. It's a straightforward thing. Let's learn the Word of God. And then as we learn the Word of God, apply the Word of God to our lives. Make a demand on yourself, you know. It's too easy to go through life and say, well, that's the Word of God, and that's sort of a book of history. It's over there, and I'll never, ever do that. Make a demand. Say, I will. The Word of God says this. I will receive this for my life. I'm not playing games. I don't know about you, my friends, but I'm not playing games when I'm reading the Word of God. I don't think you are either. If this is what the Word says, this is what I'm going to believe. And I'm going to receive what the Word says. So I'm putting my stock into the Word of God. I'm putting a demand on the Word of God. And I'll tell you this, God likes it when we do that. And that may mean that we will be very different people than the world around us. But that's exactly how it's meant to be. The world around us doesn't understand the gospel. The world around us will never understand the gospel. The religious establishment claws its way back to the world in order to appease the world. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is offensive to the world because it's marginalizing us. It's not all things to all people in the sense that we can accommodate everyone. It's restrictive. It is a restrictive. It's decreasing in many ways. It's a gospel that puts a demand on us, and it puts a parameter around our lives, so to speak. So Jesus says to him, if you can believe, all things are possible for one who believes. My friends, I believe all things are therefore possible. What's all things? All things. Well, what do you mean? I mean all things. All things. And part of the reason why I believe it's difficult sometimes for Christians to walk in this, and the constant wrestling match that we all have, I know that I have this wrestling match, is that sometimes we feel and we allow our feelings to interfere with our faith. So instead of believing what the Word says about us and a situation, our feelings take over and we get emotional, and that's a danger, because that often negates our faith. Let me show you by way of an example. The scripture says in Romans 6:11, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word in the Greek there is nekros. It means lifeless, subject to death, dead. In other words, even though in ourselves sin is evident at times, reckon yourself dead to it. In other words, pay it no attention, pay it no mind. Consider that it's dead to you. Even when you do something that's wrong, consider it dead to you. Don't define yourself by that. Don't define yourself as a Christian who's always messing up, who's always making mistakes, who's always getting it wrong. Don't do that. Because if you do that, you'll shape yourself as someone who's far away from God. You'll have a sin consciousness rather than a righteousness consciousness. And one of the things that causes us to walk in faith and to receive is to know that we're close to God. And we can only know that we're close to God when we reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to Him and righteousness. And see yourself as alive before Him. You say, well, what happens if you drive in the car, let's say, and someone cuts up in front of you, and someone's, frustrated you, and you feel like shouting at someone, let's say, but can you then look at yourself and say, well, I'm close to God, yes. Reckon you, as soon as that question comes into your mind, say, I'm dead to sin. That's being controlled by the Word of God, you see. That's allowing the Word of God then to have control over your mind. That's having the mind of Christ, because Christ's mind is manifested in His Word. If you want to know what God's will is, what Christ's will is, it's in His Word. So when He says, have the mind of Christ, well, have that mind. Let that mind be in you, the scripture says. Let it be in you. So reckon yourselves dead to sin. Okay, I messed up. Thank you, God, for your righteousness. You see, there's two ways of looking at it. You could go and say, oh, what a terrible person I am. What a dreadful, oh, what a terrible thing. How could I have done that? How could I be so cross with that person? How could I be so ungracious? How could I get so angry? How could I get so violent? How could I get, not that you would get violent, but you understand what I, how can those thoughts come flooding in? What happens is, instead of all of that, you say, no, I reckon myself dead to sin. Because the Bible tells me, reckon yourself dead to sin. So I'm going to obey the Bible. I'm not going to go into that self-criticizing journey. I'm not doing that anymore. That's a circle of defeat. You try your best, you fail, you get down. You try your best, you fail, you get down. You try your best, you fail, you get down. Instead of that, Jesus has put us in a circle of success and victory, a circle of righteousness. I am righteous, I am forgiven. I am saved by grace, not works, lest anyone boast. I am righteous, I am forgiven. I am righteous, I am forgiven. I am righteous, I am forgiven. And what happens as a result of that is, it's much easier then to believe that you can receive from God. Much easier when you're in that position than this position. This position doesn't feel as if they're worthy to even extend faith for that thing. In this position, people don't dare to believe. In this position, people dare to believe. Am I making sense this morning, brothers and sisters? This is so powerful. This will really help us on our journey that he has for us. You know, someone says, for example, let me read from 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says this, "But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. He became that for us. Through the cross, my faith in the cross event, he becomes that for me." Or let me put it another way, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ." So I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. "I'm the righteousness of God in Christ." Oh yeah, but you just lost your temper with that man who was driving the car. Ah, but I've reckoned myself dead to sin. I'm dead to sin. I'm not focusing on that. I'm focusing instead on I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. And you know what the interesting thing is? The more we focus on the circle of victory, the more we walk in the circle of victory, and the less we lose our temper with the person in the car. The more grace we receive, the more grace we're able to give. Oh, it's a circle of victory. It's a beautiful circle of victory. So when you're receiving the grace, you give the grace. And this is the vital thing that we have to have in our lives. 2 Corinthians, let's go to Romans 5, verse 17. The verse in Romans 5, 17, which is a beautiful verse there. I'll read it out in this version. It confirms this, and this is what I sense the Lord wanted us to talk on this today so clearly this morning. We've talked on these things before, but I just sensed that this morning I had it all planned out, something else, but I was really clear that I needed to go to this instead. Romans 5:17, it says this, "For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace, who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness." The abundance of grace, the gift of righteousness will reign. Not might reign, will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. I'm destined to reign in life. I'm reigning in life. I'm reigning in life through having received. Look what it says. It says, who receive, much more those who receive. Those who receive. Who receive. Everyone say, who receive. Have you received? Have you received an abundance of grace? I find that people have received grace. If you say to people, have you received grace? Yes, I've received grace. But have you received an abundance of grace? Well, what's an abundance of grace? Well, what that means is that if you have had an abundance of the negative, it's okay. You receive an abundance of grace. Every time you slip back, you receive more grace. Every time you slip back, there's more grace. Every time you go, more grace, more grace, more grace. In the end, I'm not slipping back as far as I once did. Why? I've received an abundance of grace. And I've received the gift of righteousness as well. The gift of righteousness. So I've received an abundance of grace. I've received the gift of righteousness. It's a gift. Right standing before God. Right standing before God. I'm not begging and pleading and hoping and wishing. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that causes me to walk with a different gait than I otherwise would have, and a different expectation, And in fact, let me define the expectation that I now walk with as a result of my new position in Christ, this ongoing position in Christ. I walk with this sort of expectation. Let's go to it. It's there in Mark 9:23. If you can believe, all things are possible for one who believes. You see how it's all connected together. It's all connected in one beautiful truth, and it's called the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! It's a long way from the Old Testament, a long way from the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is beautiful, and I enjoy the Old Testament so much. But how much more does this mean to us? How much better is the new covenant than the old? This new covenant built on better promises, a richer covenant for us. And it's a beautiful thing. And my brothers and sisters, I sense this morning that God wanted us to go into this and understand that this is where we're to be living, you know. We reckon ourselves dead to sin, but alive to Him. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, it's Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous." That righteousness is ours, and we must walk in that righteousness. We don't need a revelation of how sinful we are. The enemy has us very aware of how sinful we are. One of the operations of the Holy Spirit, you know, that's attributed to the Holy Spirit in error in a lot of churches is the conviction of sin. He convicts the world of sin. But you can't find anywhere in the New Testament where the Holy Spirit is convicting believers of their sin. You can't find that verse. It doesn't exist. But He does convict us, and He does speak to us and guide us, steers us away. But His role is to point us to Jesus, giving glory to Jesus. And He does that because Jesus has paid the price. And it's now Jesus who we're following, and we're walking with Jesus. And it's now no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. That's in my mortal flesh. So that all these things are possible now because I'm not living for myself. It's not my life I'm living. I'm living with the intent of Jesus Christ. Now, I may fall short in many areas, but my desire is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to see people born again. I want to see the kingdom advance. I want to see people rescued in life, from the trials of life, from the disarray of their mind. That's my goal. And it's all focused on Jesus. Everything's about Jesus. It's all the focus of Jesus and His life in and through us now. And this is the emphasis that we should have, you know. Paul made it clear, you know, he said that he determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He wanted Jesus Christ and Him crucified to be at the forefront of his thinking. Because when Jesus Christ and Him crucified is at the forefront of his thinking and our thinking, what that leads us to is our resurrection life. Because when we recognize Jesus was crucified, the blood is shed for the forgiveness of our sins, Jesus rose again as He paid the price for us. Everything is paid. I'm now going to live his resurrection life, and he will accomplish things through me. You see, he's planned for us, Ephesians says, works in advance that we should do. But they're his works. And so this yieldedness to what the word says causes us then, as we walk in this circle of victory and we leave the circle of defeat, we're then vessels molded for his purpose. So instead now of being weighed down with self-denial, self-doubt, or the focus being self, and the focus is self over here, it's self. On this side, the focus is Jesus. Jesus is the focus. Jesus, I'm redeemed. I'm holy. I'm the righteousness of God. It's all about Jesus, because all of those things orientate around him, his finished work. And that then makes me a vessel of honor, fit for his purpose. And he can speak to me when I'm in that position. And I'm much more sensitive to the voice of God. Go this way, go that way. Don't do this, don't do that. Make that video. Make that video now. In that video, tell someone they don't need to commit suicide. Post that video onto that place over there, and God will organize it that someone who was thinking of suicide will go and watch that video on that site, and they'll stop and they won't do that horrible thing because they've watched the video, because someone was yielded and being used by God to make the right video at the right time and post it in the right place. You see how it works? So it's vital that we do this, my friends. This is the journey that he has us on. Isn't he wonderful? Isn't he worthy of all the praise? Wonderful Savior. Let's stand together, shall we? And just as I close, know this. I've said it so many times in the past. I'll say it again as we close here. Closing thought. Your good works didn't qualify you to be righteous in the first place. It was only Jesus's good work, his finished work at the cross, that qualified you to be righteous. Your good works never made you righteous. So don't ever believe that your bad works could make you unrighteous. Don't give the power to your failure. Give the power to his success and his victory. Amen. Don't ever define yourself by your failure. You're loved, my precious brothers and sisters. You're so richly loved. You may have failed 99 times out of 100. He loves you. Don't ever forget how much he loves you. You may have failed, but it's okay. He sees it all and he knows. It's okay. He sees it all and he knows. And he's got all the provision needed. So leave the circle of guilt and doubt and sin consciousness. Leave it behind. You know, people sometimes say, if I leave that behind, then maybe I'll be too lackadaisical with sin. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. The more you come on this side, you really don't want to sin. Sin just loses its appeal. You just don't want to be involved in dirty old sin. You don't like that. The more you spend in this side, in grace and righteousness and focused on him, you don't want to be involved in the wrong stuff at all. It loses all its attraction. No, my friends, this is the side to be on, the side of his grace and his love. And I want each one here to know how much God loves you this morning. He loves you so much. You're so precious to him, and he's got great plans for you. He loves you so much. His grace is plentiful for you. His grace and his love is plentiful for you. We received a word earlier. That was a word from the Lord. And what was that word again? Can you remember it? Say that word out for us. Tell the people I love them. Tell the people I care. Tell the people I love them. Tell the people I'm there. We can apply it to ourselves. And I also sensed very strongly that it was for the people out there as we evangelize as well. it was for them out there as well. God so loved the world that he gave. Heavenly Father, you see us in these moments, these precious moments at the end of this time together this morning. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful grace to us this morning, your wonderful love for us as we've fellowshiped together and heard what you've been doing. Father, we thank you for this beautiful time of fellowship. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, we ask that your word would resonate with us as we leave here and for the rest of the day, that we'd be considering the truth of the gospel and the wonderful grace and the righteousness that we have in Christ. Father God, I ask now in a miraculous way, please speak to each one of us now. Speak to us, Father. Speak to us. Thank you, Father God. Speak to us. Minister to us, Lord. Have your way with us. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Anyone need a particular miracle this morning? Something that's a miracle that you need in health? Yes. Anyone else? Father, you see the need there, Father. And so right now, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, thank you, Father God. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, touch him with your healing virtue, your power soaring through his body in Jesus' name, making him well, healed by the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Thank you, Father God, for what you alone can do. We give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. We praise you this day, Father God. We thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you. We praise you. Praise you, praise you, praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, my Savior, my King. My Lord, my Savior, my King. From the early days of the church, when the believers were persecuted in the early church, you know, they would meet in homes, and the homes very often were big villas, and they would, they think, sometimes seat 120 people or something like that, those homes. And as they would leave, they would always leave with a hymn, because they'd be going out into a world that didn't like them, didn't celebrate them, thought they were strange, thought they were peculiar. And the Christians used to sing themselves out and encourage each other with the words of the hymns that they'd sing at the end of the service, their meeting time together. Brothers and sisters, we'll play a hymn now then. In that ancient tradition of the church, we close the meeting with this. We thank and praise God for what he's doing. Hallelujah. He's going to continue to minister to us at this time. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Jesus. Come
one and sing.
Thank you for the cross, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the price.
Thank you for the price you paid. Bearing all my sin and shame.
You took it all, Lord. Hallelujah.
I am lifted up.
We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God.
Come on,
thank
let's
you,
put our hands you. Together and worship.
Thank you, Father. We worship
Worthy
you. Praise you. Praise you. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in and through our lives. Lord, we commit ourselves to you now. We commit ourselves, Lord. We ask that you'd help us, Lord, to be yielded then to the truths that we've heard from the Word of God today, that your will manifest in and through us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Praise God. If anyone would like any particular prayer, please remain.